Welcome to A Lifetime of Hallmark. My name is Kurt Fitzpatrick, and hello, Les Kirkendall.
Hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick and Les Kirkendall.
I'd like to introduce both of you to the star of A Shoe Addict's Christmas, Kristen Bruhn.
Star, please.
Hello.
Please, you are the star, Kristen Bruhn, who I know because I did a Canadian Fringe Festival tour with you in the year 2007.
That's right. That's been a while. It's been a minute.
Yes. But Les and I are still doing Fringe Festival tours, and you're on Orphan Black and all these this other stuff, though.
You graduate.
So we need to, yeah. Yeah.
I graduate. I miss it. That's a hustle, man. Doing the Fringe tours is a hustle. Hawking your wares, handing out flyers, putting up posters. I mean, it's hard work. I remember that summer very well. It was a summer of just hitting the street, handing out flyers, trying to get people to come out to your show. It was awesome.
What was your show like?
So I did a one-man show that was based off of a novel called Dickens of the Mounted. It was basically like a Canadian history play based on a true story about Charles Dickens' son, Francis Dickens, who became one of the first Mounties in Canada. Like, you know, the guys who policed on horseback, except he went down in history as one of the worst Mounties ever because he was a drunk. He had a stutter, he couldn't ride a horse that well, and he was going deaf. And he always lived in the shadow of his famous father, and he was always a disappointment. And it was a comedy, but it was kind of all Canadian history, and we were touring it across Canada, so it was kind of the perfect play for, like, heading out west, essentially.
Now, did you do the full-on Fringe tour, like, from east to west? Or...
Yeah, so my buddy and I, Brad Lepp, he brought the project to me, and he said, why don't we adapt this novel? I'll direct it and stage manage it across the country, and you act in it, and we'll both adapt it from the novel down to a 60-minute story. And we applied for this thing called the Canadian Association of Fringe Festivals Lottery, the CAF Lottery. And if you get in, you can choose all the Fringe Festivals you want to go to. So we chose Montreal, Toronto, what was next? Winnipeg, Saskatoon, Edmonton, and Vancouver. And we basically spent the whole summer, like, each city you're in there for 2 weeks. So we spent the whole summer, like, slowly going across Canada and doing this play about Canadian history, which also the character goes from east to west across Canada as well. So it was kind of like, as we did each play in, or each location in the festival tour, we were visiting all the locations that he went to in real life as we traveled. It was a fun experience. It was pretty crazy.
So then how do you make the transition from Fringe Festivals to TV shows?
It was hard. I mean, it took training. It took training because I have a theater background, and all my training before that was in theater, both through university and theater school. I went to Queen's University for drama, and then George Brown Theatre School in Toronto, and for sort of classical theatre training in sort of the British tradition. So I had to go back to class and just kind of figure out the nuances and the intricacies of acting on camera, how to fill it down and not be so big all the time, because I am a pretty, like, I have a big personality, so I tend to go big in general in my acting style, so I had to kind of learn how to drop that down a little bit.
Okay.
I know that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, you've been on a lot of shows, and I was just wondering, when your agent calls you and offers you a part in a Hallmark film, do you fire the agent just, like, right there on the spot, or do you wait, like, a few minutes?
Well, first of all, I'm not at the point where I just get, well, I know I do get offered things here and there, which is very, very sweet and very, I feel very lucky for, but generally, I'm still auditioning for things, and I genuinely auditioned for A Shoe Addict's Christmas, even though by the title I was like, this is ridiculous. And I've never watched a Hallmark Christmas movie before. It's not kind of my thing, so I just didn't know that much about Hallmark and what the movies were about. I've never watched them, so I was intrigued because I've had lots of friends do them before. They film a lot of them in Canada, and even though I live in Los Angeles, which is where I'm calling you from now or speaking to you from right now, I still do a lot of work in Canada, and I go back pretty regularly to work. So I got the audition from my Canadian agent in Toronto, and she asked me, you know, like, do you want to audition for... I auditioned for two things, and I had to put them on tape. So you make a self-tape. You film them at home, and then you send them in. You get a friend to read on the other side of the camera, and you edit it together, and you send it home. So I did two auditions that night with a friend of mine. One was for a Shoe Addicts Christmas, and another one was for a thriller, horror, action, comedy film called Ready or Not. Two extremely different projects.
And you booked them both.
And mm-hmm. ended up booking both of them, and that was my fall, was working on these two films. So it was kind of a weird, crazy night of auditions in my kitchen here in LA, where I'm actually sitting right now, that ended up, you know, turning into, what, 7 weeks of work altogether. Which
oh,
is,
wow.
Yeah.
So well, I love hearing that even the people in the Hallmark movies think they're ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Les?
Yeah. Les? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
See? I knew it.
You know, and honestly, I didn't know what to expect, and I just, because I knew it was super low budget, we were shooting that one in Winnipeg, actually. For
oh, they did? Oh, my God.
Yeah, we shot it in Winnipeg. In September and October, and by the way, it snowed in Winnipeg in September, which is, like, just so wrong and just horrible. But Winnipeg, other than that, was absolutely lovely. But I was expecting the worst because I just didn't know what to expect. I was like, oh, it's a, you know, Hallmark Christmas movie. I just don't know what, like, it's crazy. I didn't go in with much, expecting much, and I had the best time. I had the best time working on it. It was so much fun.
I heard that it's a very warm environment to work in, all those films.
It is, yeah. Candace Cameron Bure is, like, super sweet, super hardworking. I mean, she's also an executive producer on it, and she's kind of Hallmark's darling. So the film had a good budget and a good look compared to, I think, some of the other films, and... You know, she just sets the tone on set because she's the boss, both as the lead on the film, but also as an executive producer. And, you know, the days can be really long on set. They're 12 to 14 hour days, and she's just super patient, super kind, and makes it a fun experience. And I guess when I'm going into something that I don't know very well, I always expect the worst so that I'm pleasantly surprised if it's less than the worst. Yeah. And I was like blown away at how much fun I had the whole time.
I've got to say though, and I said this during the podcast when we were watching the movie as well, this movie, out of all of the Hallmark movies I watched, this movie was like legit good. I really enjoyed it. You know?
Yeah, I was surprised too. I mean, even the script was fun. Like when I was reading the script, I just really... It was just so lighthearted. I mean, obviously they're all going to be pretty lighthearted, and they're not going to go too dark and too deep, you know, into the depths of despair. But you know, it's got this fun Christmas Carol thing going on with the shoes. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous, but it's still a load of fun. And I've had so many people, friends of mine, who like I would never peg as being huge Hallmark fans, who are like goth rockers, like dudes who are goth rockers being like, oh my god, you're doing a Hallmark Christmas movie, I can't wait to watch this. I watch like my sister every year. And I was like, I had no idea this was a thing, man. I had no idea. It was great.
Like when you
I gotta tell you though, since I've started doing this podcast, there are so many closet Hallmark channel watchers.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I've never had Hallmark Channel in my cable package. I just have like I'm a streamer. I have like Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon. So I just never watched them. So I gotta like I still haven't seen it. I haven't seen the finished product. I've just heard about it from other people. So I have to watch this thing.
Is that the only Hallmark movie you did? Because there's something on your IMDb called Christmas Cupcakes.
Yes.
And that sure sounds like a Hallmark film. That is a Hallmark film.
It's an independently produced Christmas TV movie. So, like, because it's not Hallmark, it doesn't have like a lot of the faith stuff that I think Hallmark is known for. And A friend of mine was the executive producer and asked me to come on board of that. That one's a really fun one. That one didn't come out this Christmas. They're actually saving it for next Christmas. That one is ridiculously fun, and I play the bad guy in it, so I really want to see how that one turned out. We shot that in Edmonton, and that one was also a blast. So you guys got to next year do Christmas cupcakes when it comes out.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
We'll watch that one.
Can you describe a day in the life on set of a Hallmark movie versus a day in the life on set of a show like Orphan Black, which is all special effects and it's very heavy drama at times? Your character got to be a lot more lighthearted than the show, but
right.
What's the difference?
It's
or the similarities.
It's fast paced. First of all, like you go quickly. The from a technical standpoint, the amount of pages of dialogue, pages of script that you cover per day is way higher on Hallmark than Orphan Black. So, you know, you're putting a movie together. I think they shot it over 3 weeks altogether, so 15 shoot days. Maybe 20 shoot days? I'm not sure. No, 15 shoot days sounds about right. So that's only 3 weeks of filming. And you got to cover a lot of ground per day, and you can't go behind too much. So in terms of like takes and setups and things like that, you only get a couple takes before you move on to the next setup. And the directors, like they all know, people who work for Hallmark, they know when they've got what they want and they're ready to move on, and they're just gonna like walk into the next thing because we don't have time to sort of sit there and find stuff. So you gotta come ready to dance and ready to move fast, because you know, you never know when you're going to move on pretty quickly. Sometimes if they can, they'll add a scene. So you just got to have everything prepped and ready to go because you work way faster. But
I would have thought Orphan Black would be faster just because you have to do so many versions of a scene because you're acting
right
against the same actors playing different characters.
Yeah, well, with Orphan, we found, like in the first season, as we were discovering how to do all these clone scenes with Tatiana Maslany playing against herself and acting against herself, they just scheduled that like a regular scene, thinking that would take the same amount of time, and it is a very slow, meticulous, difficult process to make it right, to do it with the effects and for all the acting to be where it needs to be. So in the first season of Orphan Black, we were pulling like 16-hour days normally on set, Monday to Friday. So if you were in on a Friday, you knew that, okay, the day's probably going to start at like 3 or 4 p.m. because you get pushed each day because you don't want to – you have to give people a certain turnaround to get sleep, and, you know, you can't just, you know, tell people to go home for 4 hours and come back at 6 in the morning. So each day gets pushed later and later and later. So Fridays you would start at like 3 p.m., and you knew you were going to be working until like 7 a.m. Saturday morning. That was your Friday night. So you'd be going home from your Friday night work at like 8 a.m. in the morning on Saturday, just completely turned around as the sun's coming up. So it actually was a much longer process to make Orphan Black. And also the cinematography in Orphan Black, like I haven't seen Shoe Addicts, but I hear it looks really good. And certainly the set deck was really, really nice. And the locations that we shot at in Winnipeg were gorgeous. But in Orphan Black, like the cinematography's got to be just right, and they take a lot of time to make sure that the look is there before you move on. So I found the pace much faster with Hallmark, and it's difficult as an actor because you just have to be prepared. You have to be on your toes, and you have to be able to work fast, and you got to take direction and not waste their time. Like, you got to really hustle.
Is it all really sticking to the script, or is there any like improv in Hallmark?
I am an improv guy, so I love to improv around a script. I would always make sure that I gave them the script first and foremost. That's always your job as an actor. You got to give them the script, and then I would have fun, find ways to have fun with it, and sort of do my thing where I would maybe put a button on a scene, or you know, slip in the odd line here and there. But because we were working so fast and it was a new environment and I didn't know everybody very well, certainly at the beginning of the shoot, I was a little bit more reticent to improv. And then towards the end, as we all got comfortable with each other, we would have fun kind of coming up with like little bits and bobs here and there. So it's kind of something that you suss out and you ease into it. But it's certainly a fun environment, and Hallmark is up for anything that makes the film more fun, you know, makes it more fun for the actors to work on or more fun for the audience to watch or just kind of, you know, picks things up just a little bit more. Why not? They're all for it.
I'd heard that when you were doing Orphan Black, that the mood on the set each day would be dictated by whichever character Tatiana had to play that day.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean, the first season, I only filmed with the version of her, the clone that I was married to and on the show, Allison, who was like an uptight soccer mom. And a lot of our stuff, I played Donnie Hendricks, her husband. We were sort of a good chunk of comedic relief on the show. Yeah. So we would be coming in and doing stuff that was light and funny and darkly funny, you know, like sometimes murder and mayhem and drugs got involved with our characters. So it was interesting because we'd have to play the edge of drama and seriousness, but try and find some comedy to sort of give the audience a break. And that's what they wrote for us. So the whole first season, I mostly worked with just Allison, so I was just used to all the fun times that we were having on set and all the crazy, weird, stunty things that we got to do and bickering that we got to do as a couple. And then as I got kind of pulled into the show and start to experience more of the other versions of the clones, I started seeing other versions of Tat, and it really threw me for a loop. Like the first few times, seeing Tat dressed with someone else, with a very different voice and a very different movement, like body sense of being. And it really threw me for, I felt like I was with another actor. I mean, it's absolutely incredible, her performance. And there's, I mean, until you watch it, you have no, you might not understand until you watch it, why she won an Emmy or won so many TV Critics Choice Awards or was nominated for a Golden Globe or a SAG Award. And until you see it, you're like, oh, okay, now I get it. This person, even when I watched it after shooting it, I would forget that there were multiple Tatianas on screen. That's how good, you know, our VFX coordinator, our supervisor, Jeff Scott, and his team did, and how well Tat did, you know, working as a team to come up with these multi-clone scenes. I mean, she's incredible.
And I think your show made possible the recent episode of The Good Place. I don't know if you watched that show, but
I love The Good Place, and I haven't watched season 3 yet, so don't spoil everything for me.
I won't spoil it, but there's multiple Janets in an episode. And
oh, that makes me so happy because I love Janet so much.
It's amazing.
She's the best. I can't wait to watch that.
Well, you spoiled Christmas cupcakes for us. You told us you were the villain.
Hey,
so now we know.
You just get.
How am I going to enjoy that movie?
Enjoy, yeah.
Well, you can't enjoy it until next year.
It's a light-headed villain.
Okay, we'll watch that one.
Yeah.
Watch that one next year.
It's a lot of fun.
We'll give you a full report.
Yes.
Please do. Have me back on, and then, you know, grill me over Christmas cupcakes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
While eating we'll all get cupcakes for it.
Yeah, cool. Okay, anybody else have any questions? Christian's our first Hallmark actor to ever appear on this show. We've had writers, and the writers had to get approval from Hallmark to be on the show, so I don't know
I did not get any approval.
Oh, okay. Oh, don't worry about
approval with that. I am going alone. That might be my last gig then. Woo!
Okay, well.
Hallmark, I love you. Thanks for hiring me. It was fun.
No, they've given approval to the writers to come on, so.
Yeah.
Twice.
They keep doing it. And we're not always kind, but we're fine.
Well, you guys are very kind to me, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Christian.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good to be here.